Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us as we roll through the rest of the afternoon. Thanks to Merrill Reese. Tomorrow, Tony Knopp from Los Angeles. We'll talk about Dr. Jerry Buss and what he meant to the business of sports, and also about the Super Bowl next year at MetLife Stadium. Also going to talk to Aaron Carter, the basketball beat writer for the Center Daily Times. And we'll talk about a variety of things tomorrow. So we have a lot going on. We have a lot going on, and we sincerely hope that you'll join us for the show tomorrow. So, yeah. And Kevin, all excited about the Daytona 500. He gets to wear his hat with pride this weekend.
Tomorrow, the qualifying races. Get to see how, as you said, if Danica can lead more than one lap.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, obviously, she must have a fabulous car.
Fastest all right? month? Or all week, rather. I mean, sorry.
And I mean, just by that, that's the kind of start that you want to have. And she's been able to get off to that kind of start that I think... If you have hope of her winning it, then I think that that's going to be, just by the mere fact that the car is just off to such a great start, I think that that means everything.
Oh, there's so much, though, that impacts that too. I mean, you've got all the pit stops, so the crew has to be on. You're not going to see anybody lead wire to wire because of the way pit stops are handled now. And the biggest thing is traffic. If she gets into this is where her problem has been the last year, is she gets into traffic, and that's where the accidents happen. You know, if she ends up drifting back a little bit because of a pit stop that doesn't go right, she could be in. Find yourself, you know, from pole position to somewhere around 10th and then in one of the melees that can happen at Daytona and be out of the race before you know it. And that can happen to anybody, too, not just her, but.
But I think if this is her best chance to win anything.
No question.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Yeah, there's no question about it. I mean, that car has been running very, very well. She and the line that she was driving, I mean, anybody that's even a somewhat of a race fan knows you have to be on the bottom of the track. And she had that car buried on the line through the entire qualifying lap. That tells me that that car is set up about as good as it's going to be. She's real comfortable with the handling of the car. And again, it's just a point of what the race brings up in lap 20, lap 50, lap 100, and you know what happens in that set of things. But the car itself, if they don't change anything to it and she stays clean tomorrow in the qualifying race, the car is ready to go.
Right.
And that's the worst thing right now. I mean, if I'm Tony Stewart and the entire team, Tony being the car owner, I'm thinking, you know, do I really want to sit out there? And I think I said this the other day. Do I really want to sit out there and leave her drive the entire race and take a chance on something happen? Or do we want to get this car set up and where she's comfortable in race trim, say, okay, that's great, now pull it in? because it doesn't benefit the pole sitter or the number two person to be to win the qualifying races. They're already locked in the 1-2 spots. Sometimes you don't want to tempt fate.
No, you don't want to tempt fate. But again, that is your typical conservative nature. I just would tell her to go for it. All right, so I get the other side of it.
I do get the other side of that.
No, I don't. I don't. Okay. The moment you sit there and you tell somebody to, hey, let's not get it all wrecked up for Sunday. Hey, that's when people get hurt.
No. I'm not saying don't run hard. Don't run to win. I'm saying get out there, run your car, make sure it's set up the way you want. And then when you're comfortable with it, pull off and go into the pits and say, let's put it in the truck till Sunday. That's all I meant. I'm not saying ease up, stay in the back of the pack, see what it runs like in traffic. No. I'm saying when you get comfortable with the race setup, let it go. Because there is no benefit, except maybe a few bucks, to win the qualifying races if you're Danica or if you're Jeff Gordon, for that matter.
They're competitors.
That's the real thing there. It's tough to tell any driver to pull off and save it.
Yeah. Gordon has more experience as to how to handle this than Danica does. And he's won a lot. She hasn't. Dave in Sunbury. Hello, Dave.
How you doing, Steve? Hi, Kevin.
I'm doing well, Dave. It's nice to hear from you.
Well, quick question you might be able to answer. You were talking about Dennis Dixon. But wasn't the old coach, he came through before Chip Kelly became head coach? Or is that, that's why I'm not sure.
Dennis Dixon was signed by the Eagles after Chip Kelly became the head coach.
No, but what I'm getting is when he was in college at Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
Was the old coach there then, or was it Chip Kelly?
The old coach was there. He's an Oregon guy, but not one of Chip's guys.
Chip
was an assistant coach on that team. Okay,
yeah, like so, the offensive coordinator,
really
something like that,
guy.
Maybe.
Yeah, believe me, it's his guy.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I thought he was on the staff at that time, but I thought maybe I was wrong.
He was on the staff.
Yeah, I thought he was.
He took over from Mike Bellotti. When Mike Bellotti became athletic director, and Chip took over.
And the other thing about Kevin is, usually their backups are just as good as their cars they have going, to be truthfully honest, as far as this race. You get the out there in the 125 or one.
I don't know about that.
I disagree with that.
Because you know why?
Because when a car is running as fast as it's running for her right now, they've got it set up just right. You have to reset up the backup car.
Well, I know who the owners are in both Gordon and her. Trust me, the backup just as good as the starter. They put two together simultaneously.
Well, I mean, I see what you're saying. You're trying to match everything up, but I don't think two cars match up exactly all the time.
I don't see a lot of people winning the backup car.
Well, we'll just let it shake out between the tomorrow's race and then the race on Sunday and see what happens if a backup car has to come out on the track. Because
I don't usually see a backup car win. Although Mario Andretti in 1969 won in a backup car, but that was a thousand years ago.
But the other thing you have to remember too, a lot of times in the backup car, especially what you're talking about there, Steve, with Mario Andretti, is he had opportunities to tune that. There's not too many opportunities after Thursday to get that tuned up and ready to roll.
Yeah, as I said, but it's 6-1, half dozen the other as far as Thursday's race. That's why I was holding off on the Wii for Friday.
Okay,
Kevin?
Fair enough.
Or Maxwell?
Fair enough.
I'll hang up and let
you
go.
Now they're calling you Maxwell now.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Dave. Let's go to Dick in Milton. Hi, Dick.
Hello, Steve Jones. Hey, I just wanted to tell you, and I don't mean this to be real critical, but today I happened to hear you with your interview with Coach Washington, and it sounded like she was standing in front of a waterfall. I'm not.
No,
sure
that ever. was the sound system in the Jordan Center in the.
Is that what it was? Yeah,
it was the sound system in the Jordan Center. Everybody was plugged into the malt box, and that's what came out of it.
It was just really hard. It was really disconcerting. It was really kind of hard to actually hear, listen to her speak, in a sense, because of that in the background. So I just thought I'd tell you. I don't know where you were doing it or what the story was.
Yeah, that was the sound system in the BJC on that one. So
yeah, you know. Fortunately,
I wanted to get her on because it's such a big game and a big week for them, and so yeah, that's why I picked it.
Yeah, I didn't know. I just wanted to give you an update. I didn't know if you actually knew what was going out over the air. And sometimes people don't know what's going out over the air. They just do an interview and then hope for the best. But you guys are more professional than that. I realize that. So.
Yeah, I mean, it was more of a case of trying to get her on. It was the best I had. Well, I can tell you, like, for example, the Patrick Chambers thing tomorrow is something I did one-on-one. So
it'll probably be a little bit more. You'll be able to. Yeah, I understand. The sound quality would be better. That's all. I just was in my truck coming down the road.
No, yeah, I was concerned about that too, Dick, and you're right. I was actually concerned about it when I did it, and I thought, and I was trying to weigh, when I did it, I was trying to weigh what the importance of having her versus having something else.
Right.
And I agree with you. The sound quality was mediocre at best, and you're correct about that.
Well, anyhow, they're playing very well. That's the main thing, and despite what she sounds like on your interview, the team's playing well. And the other thing I'm going to let you go is the big thing with Danica is it seems to be her weight issue. She doesn't weigh it. You know, I was reading it online where you get 100.
That's a really good point. You know what? I mean, that's a really good point because Dick, let's take a different kind of racing.
Yeah.
Horse racing. Horse racing, they want you, I think, at 126 pounds regardless. They try to weight so that the weight is even for the horses. Well, it does make, in a sport where you're looking for a tenth here and a tenth there, your assessment is very perceptive.
Well, she probably weighs closer to a jockey weight than she does a race car driver's weight.
Very close to a jockey weight, yeah.
Right.
But there are some small race car drivers. There are some small guys out there. I mean, they're not all big, broody guys. They have to be to sit through the window. But anyhow, I'll let you go. That was my main thing. It was the interview, and it was, I mean, I could make it out. It just wasn't what I was
used to hear
from you guys anyhow. Okay?
No, but you're correct about that, yep.
Thanks, Steve.
Dick, thank you.
Bye.
You bet. We'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like Jeep Wrangler Unlimited, four-wheel drive Sahara under 6,000 miles, and a 2012 Hyundai Veloster three-door coupe with black interior and under 7,000 miles, both at a lowest price promise, so low you have to call for the price, 888-536-8017. Ford F-150 regular cab $17,995, a 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS just $59.43, a 2010 Nissan Cube $12,977, and a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1 just $69.97. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Great to have you with us back on the show. We roll through on a Wednesday afternoon. I fly to Champaign tonight. The Lady Lions are home tonight with Illinois. You notice the men's and women's basketball schedules have been parallels. Just one's at home and one's away. Penn State, for example, plays at Illinois tomorrow night. Lady Lions play Illinois tonight. Michigan's here Sunday for the Lady Lions. Then Michigan's here Wednesday for the Nittany Lions. So you notice there have been a lot of parallels in the schedule this year. You know, not perfect, but there have been a lot. You know, the night the Nittany Lions played Iowa last week was the same time the Lady Lions were playing at Iowa. So, Illinois is an interesting team. They were just fabulous in the non-conference schedule. Won the Maui Invitational, surprised everybody. Beat Butler in the championship game. Beat Gonzaga. Had some really good non-conference wins. In conference, they beat Ohio State early. And then after beating Ohio State early, they went 2-7. Then down 10 with about 3 minutes to play, resurrected themselves, got themselves in a position with a tie with Indiana late, and then with less than a second to go, ran that inbounds play to Tyler Griffey, who laid it up and in, and they have won four in a row, and that was the jump start and the genesis of their four-game winning streak. Penn State has them tomorrow night at 8:15. No game this weekend, but there are only two games this weekend in the Big Ten. Only two games this weekend in the Big Ten. They're both Sunday. Everybody's off. Now you do have a game on Saturday. Nebraska is moving its game to Saturday because of the blizzard in Nebraska and Kansas. Now, will Penn State be affected by that tomorrow? No, they're talking about maybe 3 to 4 inches of snow. In Champaign during the game. Now, whether that means we can get out or not, I have no idea. I will pack as if I'm staying two nights. But I always do that anyway. That's a standard I have. I always pack one extra day beyond what I'm supposed to stay.
Yeah, and you never have to worry about your luggage not making it either.
No, I don't have to worry about that. But I'll give you an example. I mean, remember the night that this goes way back. The night Joe won his 323rd Ty Bear Bryant.
Okay.
At Northwestern. Okay. Beautiful night. Couldn't have been a nicer night. Go to the airport at Midway. Plane taxied. Went off the runway. Into the mud. Plane got stuck. They told us that night, they said, look, we can get the plane out. Nobody has to leave the plane. And I remember sitting on the plane, I think it was Roger Corey, I said it to him. Maybe, and I looked over, I said, there's 10 tons of beef in the back of this plane. I said, there's no way they could.
Said, and you were talking about the gear.
No, I was talking about the flares.
You weren't talking about defensive the gear.
And so they finally tell us to get off the plane. Well, when we got off the plane, there was a certain smell in the air that indicated that human error was a possibility by those on the ground directing the plane. How about that for politely explaining it?
I think I figured it out.
Yes, I believe you have. Yes, illegal in some areas. Becoming legal in some states, I guess. But Colorado, Washington. We got out. And you know how big an airplane tire is. Yeah. They're huge. Half of it is in the mud. All we were doing was taxiing. So they said, look, we have to do something here. So they found three hotels that could take, they split everybody into thirds. And I was in the last group to go out. And we stayed overnight. Then we got up at 6:30 the next morning, and they brought another plane in. That plane was still stuck in the mud. You know, they had balloons on it. They had all, they couldn't get the thing out. So even when it's perfect, that's why I pack an extra day.
Telltale sign.
Up the next...
Go ahead, finish your story.
Well,
No, I woke up the next day. I had fresh clothing on.
You were the only one.
I mean, you got that right.
Telltale sign that there was a problem where the guys with the flashlights had the munchies.
Lots of munchies.
Oh, man, that's not good.
There were, I will point out to you, there were firings over that.
You think?
Yes.
You put a plane in the mud, I would say so.
There are two employees fired, yes. Something about being unable to pass the test. I don't know what that means.
Steroids.
But that's why I packed for 2 days.
You never know when you're going to get stuck in the mud.
Right. Well, you don't know what's going to, you know, you don't know, for example, you get in the plane and an indicator light goes off. It may mean absolutely nothing, but they won't take off with it on. I mean, the number of times it's happened in 31 years, small, but when it's happened, at least I was ready.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I'm in the Sunbury Motor Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And the Hilshire's General Store Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilshire's General Store. Go to www.hilshirestore.com. Hilshire's General Store, 7 miles south of Salins Grove, routes 11 and 15.
You know, there was
a certain, no, there's just a certain word I don't like announcers to use.
Okay.
And you know what that word is. I don't like when announcers talk about somebody choking.
Oh, okay. I thought that was the word, but I wasn't sure.
I despise it. Well, North Dakota suspended its men's basketball play-by-play radio announcer, Paul Ralston, for 2 games after he used the phrase choke job during an overtime loss to Northern Arizona. The Grand Forks Herald reports that Ralston used the words during the interview with the coach, Brian Jones, after the team's 74-72 home loss Saturday. North Dakota led in the final minutes of regulation, but Northern Arizona rallied to force overtime and win. North Dakota missed 5 free throws over the final 4 minutes of regulation. Athletic Director Brian Faison says Ralston will not call the game in Northern Colorado on Wednesday and Saturday's game in Nebraska-Omaha. Associate Athletic Director Kyle DePresky will handle the play-by-play duties for those games. Ralston will return to his play job February 28th against Portland State. I don't like it. I don't like it. I've never liked the term. I've never liked the word. I've never liked the phrase. And I don't like, I mean, the negativity surrounding it. If you can do what they do, then maybe. But, for example, let's take Purdy Insurance. They're our Monday sponsor. They're experts in insurance. Now, I think I know something about insurance. I buy it. But they know exactly what they're doing. They're the experts. Let's take Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial, tomorrow's sponsor. Okay? I may know how to do certain things, but my goodness, when I need somebody, I'm going to go to Rick. He's the expert. If he happens, if you know, take, for example, Hilshire's General Store, you know, our phone sponsor. I need something from them. Okay? I will go to them, even though I think I know certain things. They know certain product lines better than other ones. That's why they carry it. And they can explain that to me. Brewer's Outlet. You know, in high school and college, I welded for my father. Pick up extra money. That's how I bought my books and bought, you know, and my spending money and paid for my car and things like that. You know, and I wasn't that bad at it. But I'm not like somebody who's at a welding shop in Milton or in Lewisburg or whatever it happens to be, who do it every single day. They're experts. I'm not going to tell them how to do it. And too often we get into this mode where, oh, we just all know so much that we, you know, we can be negative about anything. And I have no idea how old, how experienced this broadcaster is. I have none whatsoever. And I'm sure he's outstanding at what he does. It's just I don't like that when somebody does something wrong, we come up with a term like that. And somebody gets labeled a, quote, choker. I hate that. I hate that. I think it's wrong on so many different levels. I can't do what they do down there. I'd love to.
What about a professional athlete that's getting paid for it? Do you feel any differently?
But there's
about
a way.
That?
But there's ways of saying it.
I understand that. I understand. Maybe not that terminology.
Not like that. That right. Terminology is just I find to be just offensive. I find it to be offensive.
See, I don't mind it in a pro sport when you're getting paid to be in situations like that. And I've used that in conversation regarding a field goal kicker. Because I'm sorry, that's what you're getting paid to do. You're getting paid to kick field goals in a pressure situation. And if you miss one very bad...
Well, guess what? You get cut.
Well,
okay. Hey, it's a professional cut. All right? Simple as that. You're paid to do a job. If you don't do the job well enough, you get cut. They think I'm not doing this job well enough, they'll get rid of me.
But I definitely agree in an amateur situation.
If Roger doesn't think I'm doing this job well enough, he will get rid of me. I'm not prepared. I'm not getting the right guests on, whatever. You know. And if I'm doing my job and you're doing your job, we'll get it done. But when you're a professional, you get it done. Then guess what? You're not kicking anymore. I mean, look at David Akers. He was on the verge of the last 2 weeks with the 49ers.
Right. Well, the term that was used was it choke artist? Is that what he had said?
No,
allegedly. Because I've heard that used a lot too.
It's not allowed. It wasn't allegedly. He said it.
Okay. Well, that's why I said allegedly because I didn't know what he said exactly.
Choke job.
Choke job. Okay. Those two terms. You know, if you're going to use those two, that leads me to believe that this happens an awful lot. Now, you could say that, you know, in that situation, he may have choked. That's one particular situation.
Look,
you're not saying it every time he goes up and kicks the field goal or whatever he did.
Kevin.
Yes.
Penn State played Nebraska in basketball.
Right.
Penn State received the basketball gift of all basketball gifts. Okay. They're losing the game by 3 points, 66-63. They run an inbounds play. They get the ball in. Newbill drives to the bucket. He gets fouled. The officials then stop what's going on. And on the inbounds play, where they stole the ball from Brandon Ubell, on the inbounds play, when Penn State stole the ball from Ubell and then play continued, Ubell threw an elbow that hit Ross Travis, a flagrant one. So Newbill's at the free throw line, hits the first one, misses the second one. Travis then steps to the free throw line. He misses the next two. But Penn State gets the ball, and Jermaine Marshall gets it, and he drives to the bucket, gets fouled, and then he misses two. So Penn State missed 5 out of 6. Now, do you expect me to go on there on the Penn State Sports Network and go, well, I'll tell you right now, we saw a choke job today.
No, but this is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that it is in an amateur situation. My point was, I can understand being used that one word in a professional situation.
Why?
That I could understand.
Why?
But you're making a lot of assumption there that he did, quote, choke under pressure.
Yeah, but what's choking under pressure? Missing?
Well, it has to be a really bad miss. I mean, we're talking wide left and not even near the upright.
Like Mike Vanderjack against the Steelers?
That might be a good example of one, sure.
But
we refer to it as a Vanderjack.
I'm sorry, we take too much pleasure in somebody else's misery.
This comes from a society that watches Honey Boo Boo.
I understand that.
I agree with you, but we love seeing someone else's misery for some reason.
Yeah, but there are the ways professionally that you talk about it.
Agreed.
You know, just like you expect them to be a professional. Okay, here's the other part. Say, for example, let's take David Akers. He misses a big field goal. Okay? Now, you would love to have him on the postgame show to talk to him, wouldn't you?
If he missed a big field goal? No, I would not want to do that interview.
But a lot of people want to talk to him after the game.
Yes, you're right. But I would not want to be the one.
Okay. Right. You got to talk to people. Believe me. You know, Penn State's in a losing streak right now. You know, game after game after game, we have talked to players. I'll never forget John Schaefer. After the 1986 Orange Bowl, 85 season, 1986 Orange Bowl, he did not play well that night. He threw three interceptions. Matt Kisner replaced him at one point. And he stood up in front of everybody. He stood up in front of everybody. And I was standing right there and said, it's really bad when one guy messes it up for the other 21. I mean, at the age of 21, standing up, not avoiding anybody, like a man, taking personal responsibility, and going through it. Edwin Pope, the next day in the Miami Herald, wrote one of the more awful columns I've ever seen a columnist write, in which he destroyed John Schaefer. And John Schaefer got up like a man in front of everybody before he wrote that column. And praised his team, praised Oklahoma, and said, look, I'm the one responsible for this. That is still a leader that does something like that. I mean, he got up as one of the leaders on the football team, and he took responsibility and gave no responsibility to anybody else for the loss. He shouldered it. And the next day got ripped in the Miami Herald by Edwin Pope. Then, of course, we know the Harrisburg Patriot News ran their poll in the offseason, which, you know, look, they're trying to sell newspapers, so I have no problem that they did this. But they ran a poll that offseason, who should be the starting quarterback at Penn State, Matt Kisner or John Schaefer? Well, John Schaefer won that job. In the first night, which was the first night game ever in Beaver Stadium, he went out and he threw four touchdown passes against Temple. And John Schaefer went to Alabama and was 13 of 17 passing against Alabama. And Penn State won 23-3. He then went to Notre Dame and he was 15 of 17 passing at Notre Dame. Okay, 3 weeks later. So at Alabama and at Notre Dame, two games that nobody talks about, because they remember they won. Penn State won. They held on at the end and they beat Notre Dame, and they routed Alabama. John Schaefer was 28 of 34 passing in Tuscaloosa and in South Bend. 28 of 34 passing in two games combined, at Tuscaloosa and at South Bend. He was not the greatest quarterback ever. He was not going to be a professional quarterback. The guy he faced in the Fiesta Bowl, Vinny Testaverde, was going to be the first overall pick in the draft. John Schaefer was not going to be drafted. And in the Fiesta Bowl, John Schaefer did not play a great game. He hit a nice pass play to Eric Hamilton over the middle, and John Schaefer did run in for Penn State's first touchdown. He ran in it himself. But I'll never forget him standing up as a 21-year-old junior in the biggest game of his life to that point and not performing well. Penn State led 7-0. They scored in their opening drive and then lost the game 25-10 to Oklahoma. And threw the responsibility on his shoulders, nobody else, and got destroyed for doing it. There's something wrong. There was something wrong that night in 1986, and there's something wrong with this choke job comment in 2013. Class shows. Never forget class shows. I don't mind talking about professional athletes and say they didn't perform well here, 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 and being critical of it. Because, as Kevin correctly said, they were being paid millions of dollars to perform in the clutch. But one man does not look at another man and call him a choker. In anything, in any life. Would you say that face-to-face to somebody? Unless you're kidding around? Hey, Bob, don't choke on that. Come on, Bob, don't choke on that putt. Okay, that's kidding around. Those are friends kidding around. This is serious business. Do you want your son or daughter being called a choker? Do you want to be called a choker? Or would you rather have it phrased with class and dignity? Class shows. Come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK. By the way, we had you mentioned in the break to me, Kevin, about Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, yeah, speaking in Altoona April 16th. We had talked to the Altoona people about seeing if we could get him on the show before the event. He is not doing anything until the night of the event.
Oh, that's a shame. But now, he's in a really tough spot right now, so I can understand.
Well, no, I mean, he's memorizing the words to O Canada. I don't blame him. You know what? He seems like I might go down that night. I don't know. I haven't made up my mind yet. He seems like he's a great guy. And he certainly seems, in terms of public image, somebody that lives an exemplary lifestyle. As an NFL quarterback, he'd be great if he read option with him, except he doesn't throw the ball the same way Kaepernick or Griffin throw. He doesn't throw the same way they do. Because he'd be terrific on a read option offense if he could throw the ball accurately. They do. He doesn't. But we've talked about that 1,000 times.
Well, since we're running out of time, I'm going to uphold my rant for tomorrow.
No, go ahead. Run your rant.
No, there's not enough time now. I mean, you know.
It's 4 minutes.
Get to the point.
Get your rant.
Listen, it's a complimentary rant. As many know, I've been critical in the past of the way the District 4 have run their basketball tournament with having every team in no matter what the record. Well, the football still does that, but basketball decided to go back to the 500 record, which I think they have gotten five teams now that are going to make it an interesting tournament as opposed to a bigger tournament with a whole lot of games that didn't draw as much interest. No disrespect to those teams that were under 500. But I also think the District did a much better job this year, or maybe it just played out really well for them, that they were able to get some doubleheaders. And one of the things that worked out really well this year is they have a boys-girls doubleheader that involves Shikellamy on Friday night. They have a potential for another couple of boys-girls doubleheaders that may actually be the same team, both boys and girls, the same school, playing. And I think that's a great job of using the facilities they have here in the district and trying to get matchups that are worth seeing and then get matchups that don't have you draw in two different sets of crowds for both games. Maybe I did have enough time.
Well said. I agree with you.
I mean, it's great well when you have it's great when you don't have to rotate four different sets of fans.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think you're absolutely right about that.
And as much as I know that if they would have gone to under 500 or more to make the football playoffs, there would have been some teams that would not have been involved over the last several years, including Shikellamy maybe a few times. I still think that's the better way to go about it. But I also understand that, you know, you want to have a tournament. And some years there wouldn't have been a District 4 tournament.
Yeah, agreed. I think you're spot on. Spot on. Well done. Look forward to tomorrow's rant. We're going to have also tomorrow Tony Knopp. And this will be, I think, what, Tony's, what, third appearance on the show?
Yeah, third Kevin? Or fourth. I was trying to think of that when you were talking about it earlier.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the business acumen of the late Dr. Jerry Buss and about the Super Bowl. Also, Aaron Carter is the beat writer for college basketball for the Center Daily Times. Penn State's in Illinois. I fly out tonight. Shows in Champaign tomorrow. Champaign, Urbana. Where snow is expected. Time to hunker down.